Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith taking shape at Central UMC in Sacramento, California.
The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
Thanks for listening. Story. From the Gospel of Luke in the 24th chapter. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb when they went in, and they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen."
I believe there are some debts that we can never repay. And I believe there are some words that we can never unsay. And I don't know a single soul who didn't get lost along the way. I believe in socks and gloves knit out of soft gray wool. And that there's a place in heaven for those who teach in public schools. And I know I get some things right, but mostly I'm a fool. I believe in a good strong cup of ginger tea, and that all these shoots and roots will become all I know is I can't help but see all of this as so very holy.
Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother, and the other women with them who told this to the apostle.
I believe in jars of jelly put up by careful hands. And I believe most folks are doing just about the best they can. And I know there are some things that I will never understand. I believe there's healing in the sound of your voice, and that a summer tomato is a cause to rejoice, and that following a song was never really choice, never really. Comfort of old friends, and when I close my eyes, it's good to say amen. I believe that life's comprised of smiles and sniffles and tears, and in an old coat that still has another good year. And I know that I get scared sometimes, but all I need is here. I believe in a good strong cup of ginger tea, and that all these shoots and roots will become a tree. All I know is I can't help but see all of this as so very holy. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe.
Words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not them.
Marcus Mumford, of a group called Mumford & Sons, he says it this way. He says, "Roll away your stone, I'll roll away mine. Together we can see what we will find. Don't leave me alone at this time, for I'm afraid of what I will discover inside." Roll away your stone, I'll roll away mine. It echoes this phrase from the Gospel of Luke, but in the Gospel of Luke it says the women came after preparing spices. So they spent 2 days, 3 days working together to get ready to go to see the body of the one that they had loved. And they knew when they walked to that tomb that they were going to have to do some work to get inside. And then once they did that work, they were going to place their hands, place the spices that they'd spent time lovingly preparing to actually be with the body of the one that they cared for. But when they arrived, unlike Mumford and Sons, it says the stone was rolled away. So like the heavy lifting is already done. It's an upside down from the way Marcus Mumford describes it. But no matter how it happened, the women are afraid. Deeply afraid, I imagine. See, the story says that the women gather in that space and they're in fear. And they hear a voice out of that place of fear. And that voice says, remember the stories of Jesus. And they must have remembered it because they go running from that place and they go back with just the message. It would have been nice if they'd like seen something, but really all they did was hear a few words, and they rush back to tell the Easter story to the group of men. And this is what happens. Thomas Long, who's a preacher of preachers, he writes, "It's somewhat reassuring to realize that the very first Christian sermon, that's what those women went back to preach. It didn't register high on the Richter scale. When the women came back from the cemetery that morning, he is not here, he's risen. That's what they'd heard. That's where all Christian preaching begins. It's where it all ends. This is what happens. It depends on the translation, but the men say that's empty talk. It's a foolish yarn, utter nonsense, sheer humbug. How's that for a resurrection story? That's what the gospel says. They go back, and it's supposed to be the men, the one that had been following Jesus all along, that get it, right? So it would probably be anachronistic to say Luke was like a prototype feminist. But Luke turns the world upside down because Luke has the first sermon coming out of the women who went to the tomb. And that's really all they had. The most radical thing of all, just a message to say he is risen. There's a lot of different, we tend to think about Luke as like we turn to the Gospels and we find it, right? But in the ancient days, there were a lot of different copies of Luke circulating around. And it turns out they didn't have copy machines. So those words do not all match up. The Greek doesn't all line up here and there and everywhere. And so the text actually just ends with they did not believe. The women go back and they tell this story of what they saw, which was nothing. He's not there. But they heard a word of hope that he's risen. He's out there on the loose. They go back and they share that story, and the men don't believe. I said it this morning, but I think it's like they were watching Wichita State and they thought they weren't supposed to go to the Final Four. This is big news, people. And they were caught up in something else. These are the ones who were supposed to get it. See, we don't like it when there's that kind of ambiguity. We want to take those commas and add a period. Or we want to take those commas and we want to add an exclamation point. And so that's what happens. They add line 12. And it says, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Now that feels better. The men didn't get it, but Peter did. Peter ran there. He didn't just walk. He sprinted. Like, the women got it, but Peter got it more. Like, let's get that back in, right? We want to wrap things up.
Yeah.
Marcus Mumford continues his song in this way. He says that, you told me that I would find a hole within the fragile substance of my soul. And I have filled this void with things unreal, and all the while my character it steals. Darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? Yet it dominates the things I seek. We can't stay in that place. We can't stay in the place of those men saying they don't believe it. It's a false tale. It's a yarn. So we write it otherwise. Peter saves the day. But the early stories of the hearers, I think it's more like this. The women remembered the story, and then they shared the message. And the men, they forgot everything, and they didn't believe. So what about you? In Northern Ireland, they say, what about ye? What about you? Like, what about you? The women get it. The men don't. What about you? Rachel Held Evans says that we should not fear holding on to that question. The truth is, there's nothing nominal or lukewarm or indifferent about standing in the hurricane of questions every day and staring those down, mustering all the bravery we can to trust in the whisper of the one who is going to say today, what if we made this all up because we're afraid of death?
Yeah.
Like, what if we're not too afraid of that question that we can just hold it for a little while? What if we don't have to write in verse 12 like the gospel did later on? What if we can just stay in that unknown place for just a little while? See, there are folks this morning who got up. I never wear pants like this. I had a suit coat on, but I can't. Thank you. Once, twice a year, Elizabeth, that's all that happens. There are folks that got dressed up to come to church, and normally we put on sandals and we go to the farmer's market, right? At least a lot of us do, myself included. And there are folks who are singing songs this morning, lyrics, that they're not sure that they believe. And I wonder if we can trust enough that the gospel writers knew of that deep and abiding truth. That the story of resurrection wasn't dependent on the women getting it right and the men getting it wrong. The truth is, neither one of them made the resurrection happen. It just went on anyways. That's what resurrection is. It's a story about God rising up, but not in the ways that we expect it. Not in like the zombie shows that go on today. Because if that was the case, the women would have encountered Jesus like right there. They wouldn't have heard a story and then been sent out to go look for him. It would have just sat down and been like, well, peace, this is over. But the story doesn't end like that. So I wonder, there are churches all around. When people gather at the door as you come in, someone will greet you with, he is risen. And what do you say back?
He is risen indeed.
And we come out with this really strong, he's risen. He's risen indeed. But what I wonder about is if you take the heart of resurrection at its depth, does it really always take you to that place of he's risen indeed, that kind of certainty? Or does it leave you in just the place of awe? That's so often where it takes me. That's so often where I find myself. And what I experience in the women in that place is they say, they hear this phrase, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen." Like, that's a longer phrase. If people walked in church and we said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" people would be like, "I don't know, but I'm not going in that door." So we don't say it. It doesn't work very well. It's not as catchy. But that's the biblical text. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Don't look in the places that you expect. God is rising up, not here, but out there in the least expected places. Those women may have got it on a deep level, but at the same moment, they had their own questions that they moved out into as well. The story that they got was this. When they went to find death in that tomb, the stone was rolled away, and death didn't have the last word. The evil that had been on Good Friday, the evil that had taken that preacher and put him on a cross, that evil is not the end. Marcus Mumford describes it this way. "It seems that all my bridges have been burned, but you say that's exactly how that grace thing works. It's not the long walk home that will change this heart, but the welcome I receive with the restart." See, the stone was rolled away, and those women were dazed, and they were confused, and they entered that space, and they heard a message of hope. They entered into that deep and abiding grief, and it just said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." That is the restart. Perhaps that's why the men couldn't believe. They didn't actually spend the time in the kitchen getting the spices ready for those last couple of days. So when the women came back, the men didn't have any idea what was going on. And perhaps some of us hear our own story in that. Or maybe it's even worse than that. Maybe the men actually pushed the grief of losing the one that they loved to the side so far that they were just going to stay right where they were. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Like, no tears.
Yep.
No tears. Stay right here. And in the midst of that, the surprise, the miracle, the restart comes anyways. It wasn't the women's deep and abiding faith that made it happen, and it wasn't the men's disbelief that made it happen. It just did. And it didn't just long ago, but it does over and over again. That's what resurrection is all about. God's story. See, it's a vulnerable child born to a nobody, an unwed teen mom in the middle of nowhere, a town that no one wanted to pay attention to. And that child rose up, and everyone expected that child to rise up with a weapon to take down the empire that had been destroying and repressing the people that were there. But instead, that child rose up with questions. What's the kingdom of God like?
Yeah.
And instead, that child rose up to challenge people to say, you know what, we're going to break bread together. Not just the people that you're always with, but the people you've always excluded. The child rose up not with weapons, but to heal. And in all of that, the powers that be said, that's too much. We're putting that kind of love to death. And that's what happened on Friday. Love was placed on a cross. Then and now and always. But God does not allow that to have the final word. Right. There is another side to Friday. Resurrection. Easter is coming. It's here. It's all around us. We were going to gather this morning at McKinley Park, and some of you will go down there with us in June, but that'll be a resurrection story. It'll be a story of death of a playground raising up. Why are we looking for Christ among the dead? He's risen, is not here. And we live in a world that's filled with Good Friday. Another singer-songwriter that we're going to hear from in just a moment, he says it this way, "Sky of blackness and sorrow, sky of tears, sadness, fear, shadow, And in the back of that song echoes this really faint refrain, a dream of life. That's resurrection. Can you hear that? Can you hear that coming up for the rising? Lay your hands in mine, because it wasn't just one woman who went there by herself. They laid their hands with one another and went out as a community to say that God is rising up. The sky may be filled with sorrow and tears, sadness and fear. Dream of life echoing. Why do we look for the living among the dead? Christ is not here but has risen. So where will we look? Maybe we're like those women. Maybe we've been rooting our life in grace and growing in faith. We've been preparing the spices during this Lenten journey. We rose early in the morning to go to that space. Or maybe we're more like the men. We don't really know what's going on. We've been trying to be good people, but we're too distracted and we're too easily caught up in our own stuff to know that it's about more than just me. That God comes and rises up to create us as a people of love, a people of hope. And maybe there's a few Peters in here. Maybe there's a few folks that are like sprinting to the tomb to say, I got it. I'm the one. I've found this. But may all of us with ears to hear remember this day and every day that the stone is rolled away. God has come on up for the rising. There's nothing that we can do or say or believe or disbelieve that can prevent that. So our call this Easter is to go looking for those faint whispers that are on the loose all around us. The playgrounds that have been burned down and will be rebuilt. The life that has been given over to destruction that will be reborn. The relationship that's become so broken you can't imagine a way through that might just find hope and life. May we, with ears to hear, experience the resurrection all around us as we come on up for the rising.
See you, Mary, in the garden. In the garden of a thousand sighs, there's some holy pictures of children dancing in the sky filled with light. I feel your arms around me. May you feel your blood mixed with mine. Dream of life comes to me like a catfish dancing on the end of my line. Skies of blackness and sorrow, sky of love, sky of tears, sky of glory and sadness, sky of mercy and sky of fear, sky of memory and shadow. Burning breath in our arms tonight. Sky of longing and emptiness. Sky of fullness, blessed with light. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising today. La, la, la. Stone, I'll roll away mine. Together we can see what we will find. Don't leave me alone at this time.
I'm afraid of what I will discover inside. You told me that I would find a home within this fragile sadness of my soul. And I have filled this void with things unreal, all the while my character it steals. The darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? And yet it dominates the things I seek. It seems that all my bridges have been burned. You say that's exactly how this grace thing works. It's not long walk home that will change this heart, but the welcome I receive with a restart. Darkness says a harsh term, don't you think? And yet it dominates the things I seek. The darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? And yet it dominates the things I seek. Fires with these are my desires, and I will give to you this time around. But so I'll be found with my stake stuck in the ground, marking my territory of this newly impassioned. So hide your fires, these are my desires, and I will give them up to you this time around. And so I'll be found with my stake stuck in the ground, as though I will deal this time around. And then so I'll be found with my stake stuck in the ground, marking my territory of this newly impassioned. So you've come too far this time, neath the reason or rhyme with which you take this soul that is so rightfully mine.